Moin, moin, and a very warm welcome back to the German Football Podcast. It's your boy Bob in the main seat this evening, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host Colin Muller. Colin, how are you getting on since the last time I saw you? I think congratulations are in order as the Honest Men managed to scrape to survival in the Scottish Championship.
I'm very well for more than one reason. Honest Men celebrating survival finally, brought with the delightful news of Dunfermline relegation at the weekend there as well, as they lost their playoff to Queen's Park, which is very funny. And then I had a great weekend in general over in Germany. So a very good couple of weeks for Colin Muller.
Yeah, sorry, I probably shouldn't bring inside jokes onto the podcast, but that seems to be the way we're doing it this week. And yeah, that leads nicely into the topic of this week, which is a ground-topping extravaganza. And I just realized that the ground-topping week was even bigger as myself and George visited the Hamburg Cup semi-final last Wednesday at the Heiligen Geisfeld. Alsen 93 beating Hansa Elf, one of our favorite clubs, by 4 goals to nil. Altena, the Altena striker, scoring one of the best goals I've ever seen live in person. But that's not the focus of this week's podcast. The main focus will be Colin's ground-hopping extrav with his brother and friend of the podcast. And the first stop on your tour was Düsseldorf on Friday for Düsseldorf against Darmstadt at the Hansa Merkur Spiel Arena.
Merkur Spiel Arena.
Merkur Spiel Arena, which it's a bit of a strange one because I've actually seen some Merkur Spiel gambling dens popping up in the UK as well. So it's obviously an international brand, but less about commercialization and more about your experience. Yeah, what was your impression of Düsseldorf? Because you've been there before, haven't you?
Yeah, this is the third time I've been to Düsseldorf, like the city itself. It's actually only the second Fortuna home game I'd been to. The first time I went to Düsseldorf was to see them play Werder Bremen at home. Then the second time it was an away trip. They were just playing at Gladbach, so combined that with a few other games in the area. And then had a trip booked during COVID, May 2020, to go to a Düsseldorf home game again, but obviously it cancelled. So it's the third one that has actually gone through, and I've managed to get over in the second home game. So slightly different from my first experience at the Merkur Spiel Arena. It was a Bundesliga game against Werder Bremen, two mid-table sides at that time. Obviously this time in the Zweite Liga, so a lower crowd, but still a really good atmosphere. So arrived on the Thursday, which is quite good because previous times I arrived, I find it quite stressful arriving on the day of an actual game because you feel like if something goes wrong, then you could potentially miss the start of it. Remember the last time I went to Düsseldorf before this time, we're going to see Schalke and the flight was delayed about 3 hours, which wasn't fun. You're having to rush about, but it was quite good having a bit more breathing space. And then arriving on the Thursday, watching Frankfurt get to the Europa League final in the Altstadt, which was nice to see, beating West Ham. And then the game on the Friday. So you've got quite a lot of time to kill. And I don't know, it was quite exciting seeing a lot of fans around about the city during the day. I feel like that always gets you in the mood for the game itself. Darmstadt had quite a number of fans up for the game. I mean, it's not too far away. Seen a few of them round about the old city, round about the pubs and stuff like that, which is very nice. It was a really nice day as well. We decided to actually walk to the ground. It was 6:30 kickoff, so gates opened about 4:30, so we decided maybe about 3:30, 4 o'clock to start heading to the ground, but had forgotten how much of a walk it was.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I think it's pretty much near next to where the airport is. It's about 4 kilometers outside the city centre. So it took a bit over an hour to
Yeah.
the stadium, which I usually like a walk to the ground, but I was slightly pushing it. It got a bit boring after a while, but
Did you walk along the Rhine? It's not. I don't think it's particularly pretty walk to the ground either, is it?
Yeah, it was along the Rhine. It was pretty much right up the top, because when we got time to kill, we had time to kill on the Friday. So on the Friday morning, we actually went up the Rhine Turm, TV tower thing, where you get views all over the city. And I was like, say, my brother David, who I was with, hadn't actually been. He'd never been to Düsseldorf before, so I was showing him where the ground was, and like, that's all the distance we have to walk, like right along the river, good few miles. And as you say, I mean, the first part of it along the river, when you come from the city centre, is nice with the actual city, but then you start getting further up, and it's probably the main drawback, I think, the ground location and its surroundings. You feel like, as I mentioned, it's next to the airport, you feel like you're going to the airport itself, because of the way the ground looks from the outside. It looks more like an airport building or a multi-story car park than actually does a football stadium. It's not the prettiest. And there's just not really any features around it sort of for fans to spend time. Like, you're there and you basically just want inside the ground. There's no like benches to sit near the ground. There's no grassy areas. It's just, it feels like cold and plasticky. I don't really like it. Once you're inside the ground, it's good.
Yeah.
It's like state of the art, really big stadium. I don't particularly like the multicolored seats. That sort of minor point. No. I think it would look better if it had red seats. Like, I think I don't like the multicolored seats. I think it's a bit ugly.
Hmm.
Your tone of surprise indicates that you like them.
Yeah, it was. It's something a bit different. But I guess as a Fortuna fan, people would be more interested in having some kind of F95 logo or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sort of designed so it looks full even when it's empty, or like if there's spaces, then if there's spaces, say in the top tier, then it still sort of looks like there's people there, which seems a bit tinpoint, to be honest. But that's a minor point, to be fair. It's just, as a really big stadium, probably slightly too big for the club and the situation that they've been in since it opened. I mean, it's quite good for they've only had about 3 seasons in the top flight since it's opened. So usually in Zweite Liga, they're not. It's about half full.
Yeah,
but it's a good one. I do like it. And to reach the ground really not long after the gates opened, and because of that, managed to get food and drink quite easily. There is quite a lot of counters like round about the ground. That's where it feels a bit plasticky again, because it's sort of uniform around the ground, like an identical food kiosk every block. But I mean, it's pretty good in terms of trying to get food and drink. You can get it because there's such regular kiosks. It's quite easy to get. I just get some bratwurst, some alt as well. It's a bonus. It's quite good. It's quite good having a distinctive type of beer, like sort of local to the area, rather than just sort of your standard pills. So quite a distinctive part for the club.
Yeah, and perhaps those people, because alt beer is sort of similar to, it's like a dark beer, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a dark beer, yeah. And there's only so many breweries that still do it. There's very few breweries that still produce it. And most of them are around about Düsseldorf. I think there's one in Paderborn. I think the Schlossel out is in Paderborn, but then the other ones like Schumacher and ones like that are around about the Düsseldorf area. So there is there's obviously the sort of Kölsch and out rivalry that they have with Köln. But as you get the sense, it's a source of regional pride for them.
Yeah.
No branded cups, unfortunately, which I always see as a plus point. Just
were they reusable, or were they just throwaway ones?
They were reusable ones, so a decent quality, but no badge or anything, which I was like, it's a bit of a disappointment. And for the bratwurst that we had, the bit where we were at in our block, there's a bit for the ketchup and mustard and stuff, but there's no dispenser thing for the mustard, so I had to use ketchup. Pretty disappointing. It seemed to be missing. So I'm assuming that if I walked like the extra 20-30 yards to the next point, then I'm sure I would have found some Zenf, but unfortunately it wasn't there where we were. So
yeah, you don't want to work for your mustard.
Definitely. I mean, I've spent my money. I expect to have it within 10 yards of where I've actually bought the food.
Exactly. Especially when you're on your Holly Bobs as well.
Exactly. And for so long since the last Bratwurst I'd had, since the one at the Orsay Stadium, which I had to say was very enjoyable. The one in Dusseldorf was nice as well.
Yeah.
Had to make do with ketchup, and enjoyed my out. It was either Schumach or Schlüssel. I can't remember which one. I think it was Schumacher, but I could be wrong. Yeah, good quality though. It was,
yeah, because you managed to get to the standing section fairly early. And another point we always talk about on the podcast is getting the tickets in the standing section. Was that relatively easy?
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of had the probably a negative was how late on we'd actually decided to go on the trip. It was only a couple of weeks before we'd actually set off that we booked it. So I think if it was a ground that was more likely to sell out, it would have been difficult. But it was quite good that by the time we booked the flights and everything, the tickets were already on sale and the standing sections hadn't sold out yet. I think eventually, once it got to kickoff, it actually got to when the game happened, two of the sections behind the goal were sold out, including our one. So we were to the right-hand side of the goal, and then there was the middle section, which is obviously the most popular, but sold out. And I think there was very limited ones on the left-hand side. And so it was quite easy to get the standard ones, only €15 as well, so good value. And then even the seated parts, considering sort of crowds I've had recently, it was a pretty good crowd. But I think 31,600 odd. But to be fair, Darmstadt had about 4,000, which was decent for them. Biggest away crowd they've had all season, which is understandable considering the position they've been in coming into the game in second place. So that was pretty impressive crowd from them. Really good atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it helped that Fortuna have been on a good run since Daniel Thune's taken over, and also it being a big game for Darmstadt. How was the game itself? Because, I'll let you answer that.
No, I mean, really, all these games, like when you've travelled so long, you're a bit worried that you'll end up just seeing a 0-0. So it was good to get a goal so quickly. I felt like Darmstadt started pretty nervously. I don't know, the very first thing they tried was the shot from kickoff, and it just went over, tried to score from the halfway line, but it was like a false start anyway. Like, I think he'd done it before the referee's whistle, but I can't remember which player it was like Kemper or one of their attacking players tried to score from kickoff. Quite interesting. But then 3 minutes in, good work down the right hand side from Felix Klaus, set up Ioa, who was actually playing, he was playing up front himself. I think Hennings wasn't playing, he must have been injured. So Ioa stepped up and scored the first goal. And then Klaus again got an assist for the second goal not long after. And Zimmerman had come up from the back and got a goal as well. So sailed into that two-goal lead. Darmstadt were looking pretty rocky. To be fair, after the opening period, they really did probably take control of the match. They missed a couple of good chances. That they had the control of the match, but just didn't really have the cutting edge, I would say. Obviously got the goal in the second half through Kemper, a penalty that sort of, even though they had a lot of the ball, didn't really make too much of it. And there was the really stupid red card towards the end. Gisula, who's already in a booking, and fouled Ginchek, and Ginchek kicked him. So he got a straight red. You could pretty much see it straight away. As soon as he saw what happened, you knew it was going to be a red card. But then about a minute later, it was as if the ref had realised they needed to book Gisula for making the foul in general. So he got his second yellow. But then like 2 minutes after that, Oberdorf, so Fortuna sub, properly elbowed one of the Darmstadt players jumping up for a header. It looked like a red, but he only got a yellow, didn't even go to VAR or anything. So I think that quite lucky not to go down to nine men because of that. And then obviously, I think Dusseldorf were quite tired towards the end. Darmstadt having so much of the ball, so pretty relieved that the final whistle came when it was, to be honest. A good win though. I mean, that's 12 games unbeaten under Daniel Thuan, which a lot of them have been draws, but it's still really impressive. And Darmstadt really, I mean, they stuck behind the players. Even at the end, they got quite a good reception. Darmstadt players obviously recognise the efforts they made over the season. It was quite strange, like the way that their fans were set up. I have seen it at Düsseldorf before. The ultras were actually in the top tier,
yeah,
in the seated bit. I think just because it was wider, so they had a bit of a tifo at the start of the second half, a lot of flags and a banner, and then players and stuff like that. So they were in the top tier, and the bottom tier wasn't properly full. There was gaps in the bottom tier, the actual standing section. Because usually you'd expect it to be the opposite, the ultras would be in the standing section. And it was quite difficult to tell them apart because they'd asked everyone to wear blue, so the ultras sort of just looked like regular fans. But then when they started waving flags during the game and everything, you could tell like, well, the ultras were the top of the away end rather than the bottom. Kind of interesting thing, but they had a decent atmosphere. The home fans as well really made a good noise. And it was really good. It was a good experience being at the last home game of the season for Fortuna. The really good atmosphere, especially towards the end of the game, I thought. It really got behind the team and pushed them over the line because, like I mentioned, they were really tired, but recognised the efforts that they made. It's probably put a bit of a gloss on the end of the season, on the season in general, the end of it. I mean, it really has been a poor season. I thought they would challenge for promotion this year, but they're probably in quite a good place to do that next year with Daniel Thuan, if they make some good signings. And so the players did their sort of lap of honour at the end of the season with the banner to thank all the fans for sticking by them. I would say the best part was Oliver Fink, who he's been at Fortuna since 2009, so he was initially in the first team 2009, joined the second team just 2 or 3 years ago. He's 39 now, but he's retiring at the end of the season, so he got to say goodbye to all the fans at the end. And he actually led the chants, like had a microphone, so they're doing the Humba, which was really great experience being in among that, like behind the goal, everyone sort of sitting down as he's just doing the sort of calling to the fans and then chatting back and all that and bouncing up and down. So probably one of my favourite experiences of the weekend, getting to see that. And just a really loyal servant. I mean, being at the club since 2009, that's pretty much unheard of in modern times. You've got the likes of Close at Bielefeld and a couple other examples, but having a player that's been there so long and clearly has a love for the club. It was nice to see.
Yeah, and it's quite a big standing section, isn't it? And I guess when everyone joins in, it's pretty deafening. Were there quite a lot of people in your section that were joining in, or was it mainly in the central section by the ultras?
I'd say the actual chants and stuff, mainly just the middle bit, but there was a noise from our sort of section. Like, I don't know, Fortuna have an attack or something like that, and there's a lot of like Fortuna chants and all that. And then they do towards the end of the game, they have like the other like 4-2-nah, like, most folk join in from that.
Yeah.
So as a big standing section though, yeah, you're right about that. I would say there's definitely like a middle section that most of the noise comes from, but the other fans in that section behind the goal are quite vocal. It's quite another thing I noticed, that there's a few Ipswich shirts.
Really?
They've got a fan friendship with Ipswich.
Okay, that wasn't something I was aware of.
Yeah, so a few wearing that. It's a weird club to have that. I think they played each other in the UEFA Cup, LA 80s.
Hmm.
So it makes sense that they had a bit of a fan friendship since then. Like maybe a game each season, one set of fans goes over to the other club and visits, and then vice versa. There's a few Ipswich Town fans, but a couple of ones with Ipswich talks on with Sheeran in the back, like Ed Sheeran. But they were German, so I was a bit bizarre.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to think about that.
Yeah, I still think it's a weird behaviour wearing your own team shirt to another club, even if they have got some kind of fan friendship.
Well, that was the weird thing. Like, they were German though.
Yeah,
wearing the Sheeran badge, and they had like these big massive flags. They were two of the folk in the corner that they were preparing the flag and everything. It's like an old theater.
Was on the flag was an Ed Sheeran album cover or something.
No, that way they had the tour on the front of their shirt. That's the sponsor. It was like a sort of select, like a collage thing of different things. Like, I think I had an Ipswich Town badge on the flag. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of that friendship.
That's a point me and George were talking about during the Eintracht West Ham game on Thursday. Is it something you see a lot in the UK? To be fair, I'm not sure in Scotland, but at least in that way, you see it on the West Ham flags when there's like an English flag and it's got like the West Ham badge. And then usually somewhere in writing, it's got like the local pub that they all meet at. It's just like it's something that you just never see in Germany, like a flag.
I was thinking about it earlier. Like obviously, I'm growing up supporting Sunderland and seeing flags of that, and it's always the England flag, and then quite often England flag, the top corner is the old Sunderland badge, another corner is the newer version of the Sunderland badge, and then there's a, I don't know, whatever area Sunderland they're from.
Yeah.
Another corner. It's quite
or like quite yeah, weird. Or like the railway's arms, and then in the bottom corner there's a poppy, just to finish it off, and then you've got you've completed your bingo card.
We're definitely you don't see that in Germany. You do sometimes see, like, well, obviously you don't. You do sometimes see place names, but it's not really on the German flag.
Yeah,
I've seen Düsseldorf. There's always a Neuss flag. There's always a Ratingen flag. Sort of different places around, sort of towns surrounding Düsseldorf.
Yeah,
definitely more of an English thing. You don't really see it in Scotland. Maybe just because our flag doesn't really
lend
itself to that so much.
That's true. Maybe it's something you can introduce at Somerset Park. Yeah.
I would say it's probably more of a thing for Scotland international games. Like, obviously, because you're maybe a Scotland supporters club from a certain town or something like that. But in terms of, I certainly haven't seen an United flag with a certain, like, some random Scottish town on it.
I just realised, I forgot to tell you actually, but in Leipzig, in the main square, there was a, because obviously Rangers played them recently, there was a sticker which was Rangers Air Loyal. So yeah, I'm sure some something to get behind.
It's the least surprising thing I've heard. Whenever Air have played Rangers at home, all you see is like flags with like random Ayrshire towns that all should be all are like much closer to Ayr than Glasgow, obviously.
Yeah,
basically a home game for them, but they're in the way end. Not the biggest fan.
No. Anyway, moving back to Düsseldorf, did you head into the Altstadt for a few more halves of Altbier, or did you decide to get an early night with a big day on Saturday?
Big day on Saturday, we're getting up quite early, but it actually took ages to get out of. We stayed at the ground for quite a while, got another beer there, and we're like hanging about. Then eventually the stewards chucked everyone out, because we were just sitting on these steps, and then all of a sudden the stewards like pointed and like told us to go away. So you headed towards the U-Bahn. I think this is another drawback to the stadium, that there's only one line away from the stadium. It's a terminus, so it's the like U79, and so everyone basically piles on the same platform, and it you can imagine. I remember the Werder Bremen game that I went to, because it was a proper full house, like 50 odd thousand. It was so mobbed, platform trying to get away. This was quite similar. We managed to get on it, but the you're just in the train and it just stays still for 15, 20 minutes and doesn't move. And eventually it moves, but it goes at a snail's pace and just stops randomly. And it honestly took probably about an hour to get into the city centre from the stadium just because it kept stopping.
Wow. Okay.
That was actually one of the worst things about the weekend was the transport. Like, everything was late. I'm not sure if it's a thing in that area because there's so many lines cutting across each other, so many cities in close proximity that a lot of the trains get delayed. But honestly, there's barely a train on the weekend that was on time. It was just, it's crazy. But that was one of the worst journeys, probably, getting back into the city centre, Düsseldorf. So it was quite late. We were getting up quite early on the Saturday morning. So, didn't go to the pub, but because I suppose that brings us into the next day when we're heading off to Köln, because there's a game at 12 o'clock. I suppose to finish off with Düsseldorf, I better give my ratings.
Oh yes, yeah.
Nearly forgot. So I mean, food and drink. I was impressed, but obviously lack of Zenf brings it down a mark. Maybe I'm probably going to go with 8 because I would say it was really good. Like the queue, there wasn't really many queues because it was so readily available. There's a stall where you could get food and drink, which is a plus point. But then also a separate bit where you could get beer refilled, and you could also pay by cash or card, which isn't really. Is becoming less of a common thing in Germany. I would go for an 8 for food and drink. I was quite impressed, and then
especially the alt beer as well. Yeah, offering something
that's
different.
That was going to say the last point. The alt beer, having that is an option at the stadium. Something like where you feel like right, this is a Düsseldorf thing. It's quite an important point.
The game.
The game, I would say 7. It was a good game. The early goals, and then from that point, it was really Darmstadt having a lot of the play. There was a lot of tension in the game. It probably wasn't the most end-to-end game or anything like that. But you had a feeling if you were watching on TV, it would probably have been less exciting than if you were actually at the game. So I think it was a decent game, but that Darmstadt weren't really at their best. If they'd pounded the goal a bit more, they'd have a lot of the ball, but if they'd had a lot more clear-cut chances, then maybe would have got a higher mark. But a decent game, but probably not any more than 7.
And the atmosphere?
I'll give that an 8. I would say I was pretty impressed. Maybe if it was a full stadium, probably could have got more than that. It was 31,500, and it holds about 54. It was a decent away support, as I've mentioned, and the home crowds were pretty loud, really, particularly towards the end. Then obviously the after game celebrations. So I'd give it an 8. It was really good, to be honest. Yeah.
So all round a very successful experience, and I guess we'll move straight on to Cologne on the Saturday morning, where you managed to visit Köln 2 against Homburg. And yeah, talk through how did you come across the game, and why did you decide to go to it?
We were already going to the Köln, the first team game on the Saturday afternoon. They were playing Wolfsburg. It was my brother David. He found it on the Footballogy app. I don't know if you know the ground hopping app.
I do.
Take a location. So Lotus, that was a 12 o'clock kickoff. First team were playing at 3:30. So we headed into Köln quite early the next day, then we could still see a bit of the city, but still get to that game as well. And because it's a lower level, you expect it to be cheap, readily available tickets, and just an extra ground to tick off as well. So headed off early to Köln, headed off to the second team. So we had arrived in Köln reasonably early. There was another train that kept stopping, though. The Düsseldorf to Köln line took quite a while. Got there eventually, though, sort of mid of the morning. Had a quick look around the dome. But got a U-Bahn out to the Franz Kramer Stadion out in the southwest of the city. City, sort of in the sort of Köln complex, and in a sort of wooded park area where they've got that stadium where I believe the women's team play as well, but they've got the Köln training ground in that area. And a few pitches where there was a youth team was playing. I saw that Bochum were one of the, it was just really wee boys, sort of seven a side level, but Bochum were playing and a few other youth teams. So yeah. And then the ground itself, that, I thought it was a really nice setting for the ground. It was quite nice on such a sunny day with all the trees around it.
Yeah.
Quite a laid back atmosphere, I thought. And eventually the gates open, we get into the ground. Which €10 to get in, I thought was a wee bit steep, considering it's a reserve team that I suppose you can't complain too much. But then we'd seen on the ticket that we'd actually got tickets that said seated places. So I don't know if we should have specified when we came in that we were just going to be standing, or it would have been a uniform ticket across the board. We got in the ground, got a currywurst and a Kölsch Reisdorf, which Ooh. Were really nice, but I thought they were quite expensive. I mean, you could only buy 0.3 litres, we're still €3, which is a bit steep considering some of the other prices at the weekend. It wasn't really the most cheap, and then the currywurst portion was quite small. There wasn't too much variety on offer either. If you are looking for vegetarian stuff, then it was pretty much only bratwurst and currywurst with a bruschen.
So well, that's what you find quite often at the reserve team grounds. They're generally some of the worst ones to go to because generally there's not many fans there, so the atmosphere isn't particularly good. As you say, it's surprisingly expensive considering you think it's not much of a moneymaker for them. And then there isn't particularly good catering. I mean, I know at the where the HSV under-23s play, there isn't any catering at all. Like you can't even get even like a soft drink or anything. So yeah, they're generally one of the worst ones. So is the ground relatively close to the Müngersdorfer Stadion, or is it still a bit of a trek?
It's about a 45-minute walk, so not really. It was an enjoyable walk, a really nice walk. Like, one of the nicest walks I've ever had to a football stadium between the two grounds, because even though they're 45 minutes apart, pretty much the entire area is just like parks and like wooded paths and stuff like that. So it's a really nice walk. And like, as I mentioned, it's a warm day. So just really nice.
Yeah, you managed to get your steps in this weekend then.
Definitely. That date was like 20-odd thousand steps. It was very tiring. But I mean, it's good. For the weather was great and everything like that. I don't know what it would have been like if it was raining. And I don't think the public transport links are even that great between the two grounds either. But managed to walk it, which is good.
Were there many Homburg fans at the game? Because as I'm sure listeners of the podcast will know, Homburg is in Hessen, in the region, well, close to Hessen Kassel. And yeah, were there many away fans at the ground?
No, not really. I mean, I think we looked at the distance between the two places, and it would have taken about 3 hours. So they're an already relegated team as well. They're second bottom of the league. Right? The only team below them were KFC Uerdingen, who well documented struggles for that club. So we saw a guy wandering about with like a really old Homburg shirt. Yeah, it looked like sort of like one of the Euro 2004 templates that Adidas. So I'm guessing he's like a proper fan. He was carrying this wee like toy, this wee mascot. Can't work out what it was, but so he was sitting in the stand, and when Homburg scored, there was maybe a few others dotted about, like celebrated. But I mean, probably about 10 in total or something like that.
Yeah.
So not really.
Especially with the early kickoff as well. It's a long...
Yeah. 12 o'clock. Didn't really expect any fans, to be honest. Like, sort of pleasantly surprised that we did see like a proper fan like wearing the shirt and stuff there. And they didn't open the... They were all sitting in the stand. So they didn't open... There is like a guest block, which is the entirety of behind one of the goals in a wee corner section. They didn't open that. You can imagine if, say, like Preston Munster or Brock Vice Essen were there, they would get a decent away following there.
Yeah, and were there many Köln fans there as well? Because as you were saying, you'd imagine a few would manage to go if it's before the first team and it's doable to get to the home game as well.
I did think that. I thought there'd be more. There was a few ones with Köln shirts. I actually saw a boy wearing a Wolfsburg shirt as well, so I must have the similar details. But there's only 120 at the game. It's pretty poor crowd. Because you looked at the average, and I think their average this season is about 400 odd. But I suppose taking into account that probably includes the teams that have a big away support, which probably pushes the average up quite a bit. It's only 120. So we did sort of have a similar thought that the first team playing, a lot of fans might have been going, but no, not really. And there's certain second teams like Bayern and Dortmund who have an actual fan scene, like an ultras group for their second team, but there wasn't any atmosphere at all, basically. It was pretty laid back, just folk watching for the game, cheered when the home team scored, not really any chance or anything like that.
Yeah, so if you had to give the game a rating, what would you give it? How did it end up?
I would give it a 6, probably. It was pretty comfortable for Cone's Fi, obviously against an already relegated team. There was very early opening goal. I think it must only be about 30, 40 seconds. So it was quite good after the previous night for Fortuna scoring such an early goal, getting another one in the next game. Yeah, they had a shot from outside the goal. I wouldn't quite call it a Traum Tor because it looked pretty central, like the keeper could have saved it. So you're thinking after that, like a goal after the first minute against a relegated team, it was going to be a hammering. But Omberg weren't quite as bad as you would expect, given the position. They could string a few passes together, but they just didn't really have the cutting edge going forward. Really sharp enough. They did get a penalty just before half time, which they scored. Then in the second half, the Köln Zwei managed to regain the lead through the substitute, who looked very much like Sven Michiel, the Union Berlin striker. Then I searched. I was like, so you're thinking this is basically a youth team, and there's this bald man playing up front that looks like Sven Michiel. Searched his name after the game, it was like Thomas Kraus, who it turned out was 35 years old and used to play for Fortuna Köln. And it was quite entertaining. He looked quite a good find. I would say because the game was quite comfortable, so probably a 6 I would give it.
And the atmosphere, I take it, wasn't particularly good.
Feels like you can't really give it a rating almost because there wasn't any. There just wasn't an atmosphere. Like, it wasn't any chance or anything like that. There was actually the most that came was a bunch of Kaiserslautern fans in the stands started singing Kaiserslautern songs. They started singing about like Die Roten Teufel, because they were playing Victoria Köln the next day.
Oh yeah.
So they must have been up. So. Because you're thinking these folks start chanting in the stand, like, oh, finally some atmosphere, but it was Kaiserslautern fans. It was strange because they play the Köln hymn at the start of the game, but then when the team score, you expect to hear Köln a laugh, but they just played the like chorus of the club anthem again, like the Loch Lomond tune. So it was strange that. I'm not even sure if I could give the atmosphere a rating because it felt so laid back almost that it was just, it felt like a lower game than it actually was. Like, it almost felt like you forget that it's Regina Liga Vest that in the same division as Brock Vice Essen and Munster and teams like that that would have a proper atmosphere. It almost felt like a lower league game than that because of how small the crowd was. But I still enjoyed it. It's difficult to give an atmosphere rating when there really wasn't one, and there wasn't enough of an away crowd to have an atmosphere from that perspective either.
Mm-hmm. So we'll give that an NA. And what about the food and drink?
I'll give it a five just because of the prices and the lack of options. There just wasn't really, I mean, as a reserve game, pretty much lower league. I think with the value of what you're getting, probably a five. It did taste, it was decent quality. It just, like, the small portions and prices, I'd probably put it down to that.
As you managed to go on a very lovely walk from the reserve game to the first team game, it was your first time at the Müngersdorfer Stadion, correct?
No, I was there 3 years ago. I saw them at home to Darmstadt, where they lost. So
when they were in the second division?
Yeah, second division. When they were, it was Marcus Anfang's last Köln game. So they lost. They lost 2-1. Then he got at the end of the game, all the fans were chatting for him to get sacked. They're all like whistling the team, and then he got sacked during that week. And then the following game, the caretaker came in and they won the league. It's quite a strange situation. So was it the second time I'd been at Cullen, but first time it was sort of in the main stand, the upper tier. So quite expensive tickets this time. It was in the away end, sort of in the corner. We were in the Wolfsburg end. So felt pretty lucky to get tickets, because I was seeing on Twitter that apparently Köln fans, there was over 200,000 requests for tickets in this game because of how significant the game was in terms of getting into Europe and stuff like that. So definitely made the right decision trying to go via Wolfsburg. And big thanks to Wolfsburg fan Tom, who sorted the tickets out through his membership. That was really helpful, because without that, never get tickets unless we went through some other means. But it was an enjoyable game, though.
And you managed to, I imagine it must have been a bit tight, not necessarily tight, but you weren't there at the ground that early, considering you've been at the game.
No, well, I mean, that was the issue. As much as it was a beautiful walk, like, we couldn't really enjoy it because it was a power walk, basically. It took about 45 minutes. There was about an hour and a half between the games, one game finishing, the other starting. So you're sort of trying to power walk to the game. Then eventually you get to sort of a lake bit and you see the fog lights in the distance. You know you're there. So once you're in the grounds, I mean, I usually like arriving pretty early. As you know, it was about 50 minutes before kickoff. So we got to our bit and had our seated tickets, saw where we were sitting, then decided to try and get some food and drink. Then you go outside onto the concourse and it's absolutely mobbed for the drink stand. It's a sort of queue, but it's more just like a massive crowd of folk standing in front of it. So you join that. Probably the worst part of the whole experience, trying to get that, because it was just absolute chaos. Like, the number of people waiting, and then how slow the service was. Could only pay by card as well, which...
Well, one of the stadium cards, you mean?
No, it was... I think you probably could. I'm not sure if it was a stadium card, actually. You could pay by debit card.
Credit card.
Not too bad, but obviously the... compared to Dusseldorf, where you could pay my cash as well. That's slight.
And so you decided to join the queue. You didn't think, oh, we'll get something like during the half or something like that?
Never like missing any of the game, because you feel like you miss a goal. I always like getting my toilet stops in before the game or halftime, and trying to get food and drink before the game. But usually I arrive so much earlier that you could get that sort of over an hour before kickoff, but we were like 50 minutes, so at that point it was so busy. And another negative was that the food and drink were in different stalls. So the queue to get a drink, I mean, it must have been 20 minutes or something, 25 minutes. And then eventually you get there. So we just got a couple of Kölsch each. And it was like, right, can't be bothered queuing again. Just we'll buy two each, and then that'll do us for the game. At least it was bigger measures than the Twi game. It was actually like half-litre ones. But then they've got like the coach sitting out, so they can just have them ready. So by the time we got them, they were pretty flat. And then once you get the drinks, you feel like you don't want to join another queue for food. So ended up not eating when the stall actually at the concourse before the game. And it looked like the options were quite limited for food as well. Like it said something grill, like it was just sausage. You get like either bratwurst or currywurst. And then, so just got the couple of drinks. And I think another problem with it was, so the away end, it's two blocks at the top, but there's only one food stand and one drink stand for the entire two blocks in the top tier, which isn't great and just causes queues because our section wasn't even totally full. So I can imagine if it's a massive big away support, how much chaos it is in that section.
What do you give the food and drink out of 10?
So I would give it 5 out of 10 because of all that. But we did get a bratwurst sort of outside the ground after it, sort of still within the stadium, but like outside on the actual exterior. I just felt like, I mean, imagine that the home options would have been better, like it would have been better organised. I think as an away fan, it's not a great experience. There's probably not, they don't seem to offer the same variety that you would get as a home fan because you saw the options that were available to home fans like directly outside the ground that could be accessed from like the lower tier. And it just wasn't the same as you'd get as an away fan. So because of that, I would give it 5. But it was a really good bratwurst after the game, to be fair.
Why did you decide to go in the top tier of the away section where there are not any standing tickets left?
Sort of had the thought, like, we probably wanted to, well, on one hand, you didn't want to be stuck behind a flag for the game, so we wanted to actually see the action when you're in the away section. Cool. I feel like the standing bit's quite small, so might not have got the best view. Plus, I mean, we're sort of like, we're tourists, we probably want to take pictures and stuff, and it's not the best environment to do that when you're in like a small standing section with the ultras. Would have been fine, I think, but just decided standing ones anyway. It was quite strange though, because I mean, it was the away section we were in, but it was mainly Köln fans still. So we expected it to be Wolfsburg fans in the bottom tier, but then they had the top tier as well, the block that we were in. So maybe a few Wolfsburg fans scattered about, but it seemed like home fans had been able to get tickets as well in that section. So we didn't really have to pretend to support Wolfsburg in a way because there's so many Köln fans there.
And how was the atmosphere from the away fans?
From the away fans, it was decent at times. You could hear them, but I felt like it was totally drowned out by the home fans because I think according to Fussball Mafia website, there's about 1,000 away fans. They were still completely drowned out by the Köln atmosphere. It was really loud atmosphere. I feel like it's one of the best grounds for everyone participating because even the Köln fans in our section, which is meant to be the away section, are like properly having a go. So it's really loud. And the club anthem is so loud as well that when you see it on TV, it doesn't really do it justice.
Yeah.
So that was really good atmosphere. Really good experience hearing that. And then the atmosphere during the game was brilliant as well, despite the team not really playing well. And they had like a tifo behind the goal as well for the teams coming out, about like referencing the race for Europe. And sort of sent pictures into the chat as well, with the fans all invaded the pitch at the end as well, obviously qualifying for Europe. Even though they're in seventh place, so it might just be the Conference League they get, but sort of sums up Köln in a wee bit, the very emotional club and something like that where they have the chance to celebrate. I mean, only last season they were in the relegation playoff. So you see when they do have that sort of rare success, how much the fans embrace that.
Yeah, it must have been pretty cool to, especially as you're not a Wolfsburg fan, to have seen the pitch invasion as well and to have seen how... Yeah, the party scenes. I guess that was one thing I saw on Twitter. Archie Rintut said that there the players, the Köln players, didn't come out at all. So it was basically just the fans on the pitch, and they weren't celebrating with the players, which seemed a bit strange.
Yeah, it was a bit strange because on one hand you got to see the pitch invasion and everything like that, but you felt like you missed out on certain other aspects of it. Like Wolfsburg obviously won the game. Usually, last away game of the season, winning in Köln, the away players would get to celebrate with the fans, but they just obviously disappeared once the Köln fans invaded and never came back. And then the Köln home players just never came out. The police sort of had a bit of a sort of lined up in a row in front of the tunnel just so fans couldn't get anywhere near. And then the announcer kept saying over the tannoy the players wouldn't be coming out of the dressing room. Pretty much don't expect that. Which was a bit of a shame because we were sort of waiting, hanging about for quite a while because expecting them to eventually come out, but it never happened. So the fans were just sort of hanging about the pitch. They actually like snapped the goalposts and stuff, and they were like pulling apart the crossbar and trying to take it home. And then when you're coming out the ground at the end, just seeing folk walk about with massive clumps of the grass. A bit similar to Schalke, to be honest, that night actually. So where everyone invaded the pitch and then just start tearing out clumps of the turf. It was quite good to see that on one hand you got the pitch invasion. Just a shame that the players never really got to celebrate with the fans. I don't know whether that was their choice or just they were instructed not to.
Because of security.
Police were quite aggressive with fans that were sort of milling about the Wolfsburg end. They lined up in front of the tunnel, but they'd also lined up in front of the Wolfsburg fans. Saw like at one point a policeman just shoved one of the fans away quite aggressively. And I didn't even see the guy doing anything wrong. It just seemed quite heavy-handed. So I'm not sure if it was sort of police instructions and players stayed in the dressing room. The Köln fans did stay on for quite a while, but I think eventually they got the message and started heading off.
And what would you give the game and the atmosphere to round off your Saturday?
The game was quite frustrating, to be honest. Köln made a really good start to it. I think they hit the post not too long into the game as well. But you sort of felt like, because they didn't take their chances, Wolfsburg, the sort of team that would be quite clinical if they got one chance. Cruz actually had a really good chance in the first half, but he totally just like scuffed his effort and rolled along the ground. Eventually, they got their first goal. Yannick Gerhardt, former Billy Goat himself, which I don't think the home fans appreciated. But he got his goal, and then Wolfsburg actually got a goal in the second half, but it ended up ruled out by VAR. Thought that would give home side a bit of a boost, but they never really built on it, had a decent amount of play towards the end, but it just seemed to be stupid decisions. Marco, a couple of times, just had a chance to shoot, but then just took it 2-1 touch too many. It's frustrating because you get into it, you want to see a home goal. I think that's actually the first German game I've been to where the home side haven't scored. You want to see the goal and the club at the goal song and everything like that. I never got to see that. Wolfsburg won then. Obviously, I think by the end, the fans didn't really care because Hoffenheim had lost and qualified for Europe, which I didn't really realise the significance of that. They officially confirmed it until I saw, like, just before the final whistle, so many of the fans were gathering behind the barriers about to run on. So you saw that was 100% confirmed. So I'll give the game itself a 6. And the atmosphere was, I think it was very, very, very special, but probably a 9. I think it could have been bumped up to a 10 if it had been an away side with a bit more of a following. It was for Wolfsburg, considering what they usually get for away games, it was a decent turnout, 1,000. Say it had been a derby game or something like that with Gladbach away, I can imagine it being like so loud, which probably would bump it up to a 10. But definitely one of the best atmospheres I've been to. Like, obviously, I know from being there last time, I would say it was even better than that with the sort of what was on the line for the club, like qualifying for Europe again and seeing the pitch invasion again. Of course, definitely the best atmosphere of the weekend. So I'd give that a 9. So I know it was 3:30 kickoff at Köln, but I believe at the same time that I was at Köln, you were also at a game yourself in Leipzig 3:30. Tell us a bit about that.
You're exactly right, Colin. I was with friend and avid listener of the podcast, Stephen, who lives in Berlin, and we decided to go for a weekend trip to Leipzig. Moving away from football for a second, I would very much recommend Leipzig as a trip. I know it's a bit difficult to get to from the UK, but it's something we've talked about before, maybe flying to Frankfurt or Berlin. And it's only an hour away on the train from Berlin. So we'd really recommend it. It's a very, got a nice mix of architecture. It's got a bit of sort of 19th century, bit of communist architecture, bit of some new stuff in there as well. A lot of green open spaces, sort of similar to vibe to Berlin, got a sort of bit edginess, but nowhere near as big and not as dirty. So I'd very much recommend it. The only thing in terms from a sightseeing perspective was the game being at 3:30 on a Saturday, sort of cut right into the one day that we did have for sightseeing. But around 2:00, we managed to get a tram to the ground, and long-time listeners to the podcast will know that I'm a big fan of the tram. And I think that was a bit of the calm before the storm as well, because it was actually fairly peaceful. Not very many shimmy Leipzig fans were actually on the tram. The ground itself is very small. I think I'd known before that they have a relatively big fan base, but I haven't really sort of looked at the stadium, and it's a very old and quite a small ground. So on it's got one very high terrace that goes quite high, and then sort of seating on one side in the away section, and on the far side it's got a building which kind of looks like the points building on a train line. So I'm not sure if that's describing it very well, but it's a bit of a strange building. But you don't really see it coming because it doesn't have floodlights. That's also one of the points for Chemie. They're currently raising money to try and actually buy some floodlights so that they can play games in the evenings and in the winter at later kickoff times. And one thing that was interesting outside the ground, they were doing sort of tailgating. So the car park was fairly big, and there seemed to be lots of sort of families and older couples had brought their car and then were having a bit of a barbecue before the game, which is pretty cool. So we managed to get in about 45 minutes before the game. And I think even then, once you actually got to the ground, you could see the intensity of the game. I mean, when both teams came onto the pitch to start warming up, the Chemie ultras were singing the whole time. About 40 minutes before the game started, and most of their songs were concerning the opponents. It was sort of, yeah, songs talking about their opponents. The Lok fans arrived about half an hour before the game started, with about 20 of them in balaclavas, and the first thing they did was run to the front of the away section and like hammer on the fence and the railings to let everyone know they were there. just before the game started, there was a really impressive display from the Chemie fans, where it said, "Hältst du nicht auf Chemie, wünsche ich dir die Pest." And so a rough translation would be, "If you don't stop for Chemie, I wish you the plague." And there was on the TIFO was a plague doctor who was sort of scything away at some Dynamo Berlin fans and some Lok Leipzig fans and Halle fans, because those are the sort of three main rivals that they have in their fan scene. And one thing to mention was that this was the first Leipzig derby since 2017 with a full away end, because there'd been a bit of a few fallings out over the past few years, because Chemie didn't want to give the Lok fans a full away end allocation. They didn't want to give them 10% in tickets, and the Lok fans said, "Well, we're not coming." And also due to the pandemic, and Chemie had actually been in the Oberliga for a year, I think. What was cool about the display as well is that it was in two parts. So the Chemie one, I mean. So first they had this TIFO and black smoke and black flags, and then in sort of the second part, as the players actually came onto the pitch, there was a second bit which was released from the top of the banner, and they waved green and white flags, which was really cool. I mean, yeah, sort of reading bits online afterwards, I think they've got the Chemie ultras called Diablos, well, and the fan scene in general have quite a lot of respect within Germany for their creative displays and the loud support that they have.
Which one is it? One of the clubs is quite linked to Eintracht Frankfurt. I can't remember which one.
That is correct. So when I was talking about before, they're very strapped for cash and need to buy floodlights. And one of the teams, Eintracht Frankfurt, actually came to the Alfred Kunze Sportpark in 2017, I think it was, to play a fundraising game. Mm. And so there were actually quite a few fans. Well, there was one guy who was walking around in like a full Eintracht kit. Well, not full Eintracht kit. He didn't have the shorts and socks on. He had like a shirt on and a cap. And there were quite a few people there. It was like a special kit that was designed for that game. And there were quite a few fans walking around with the Kemi and Eintracht shirt on. So our tickets were actually on the Damseite, and we were supposedly seated, but pretty much everyone was standing up as we were in the first half. And yeah, the first half was pretty dreadful game of football. Shemi barely managed to string a few passes together. I'm not sure. To be honest, I haven't seen a huge amount of Regionalliga. The only game I saw this season was Lichtenberg, all the way back in August. But I think the sort of the magnitude of the game got to both sets of players a bit. Looked perhaps better, but Shemi managed to go in 1-0 at half time. I actually thought at the time it was from a corner. At the time, I thought it was the Shemi player who managed to bundle it in. But watching the highlights back afterwards, is one of the best own goals I've ever seen. Where the Lok player managed to, like, it went off his knee onto his boot, and he like hammered it into the goal for a fairly undeserved 1-0 lead at half time. But that sort of was overshadowed a bit, really, because about 5 minutes before half time, as I generally do at those kind of games, I was mainly watching the ultras, and they were looking over behind us. So we were on the seated section on one of the sides. Yes, they were looking over behind us, but then they sort of seemed to concentrate on the game again. But then I realized they were looking over again. You could hear sort of sounds behind us. And so what I read on Twitter afterwards was apparently the police were trying to sort of sneak around the back and film the ultras. And I think quite a lot of the Diablos ultras from Shemi are involved with sort of far left anti-far groups and just generally don't really like being filmed. I think that's true of most ultra groups in Germany, really. So they sort of decided to push the police out of the block. And so we were, no one was really watching the game anymore. Everyone was sort of looking behind, at least in our part. And so the first wave of police were managed to, they were pushed out of the block. And then they tried to get a second wave of police, I think, tried to, I don't know if they were filming or trying to sort of take people's identity cards and that kind of thing. So that's something they like to do at those kind of games. and me and my friend, we were sort of about 5 meters away, but still relatively involved. You could see everything that was going on. And the police were sort of first tried to go in, and then the ultras and everyone was just throwing literally everything that they could at the police. There were like tables that were right next to the next to the sort of food and drink stands. They were throwing that. Throwing bits of wood, throwing like stones at them. We actually saw on our way out, we didn't realize at the time, but one of the tubs that held mayonnaise in had actually been thrown at the, that held mustard in had been thrown at the police as well. It was...
Couldn't have done that at Düsseldorf because it was not available.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much just justice for mustard episode this week. it was just... Yeah, I think like most of these things is faults on both sides. But I think, sort of as you alluded to earlier, I think the more you go to German football, the more you realise that the police really don't help matters. And if anything, they escalate it. Like you were saying earlier with the police or the stewards sort of pushing the Cologne fan. And I mean, there's no need for them to start filming the ultras, and they know that it was going to create a reaction. And yeah, then on the other hand, it doesn't place a good light on the Shemi fans when they're attacking the police. But in some respects, it was an unprovoked attack.
Waste a good mustard as well.
Exactly. Yeah. That was pretty crazy. Like I said, because we've been pretty much standing the first half anyway, me and my friend, we thought, well, we may as well just go to the standing section anyway, because it's a fairly old stadium and no one's checking anyway. But so we walked past sort of where the attack had happened. It was actually sort of had to cover our mouth and nose because they'd fired some like tear gas as well. So pretty mad experience. And during the half time, you could look into the away section, you could see there was like a black cover going over the Lok fans. And Yeah, sure enough, they let off some black smoke over a banner which said "Bekämpft und Feind," which means like combat the enemy or fight the foe. And in the first half, actually, I think after Chemie scored, the Leipzig fans had fired some flares into the home end, and then they did it about two or three more times, and obviously the Chemie fans didn't really agree to that. So we could see, I mean, they were getting a bit annoyed anyway. And then when they did it for like the third time, there were about four or five Chemie ultras who like climbed over the fence and onto the pitch. I mean, you're never sure with those kind of things if they were actually going to run all the way over the pitch and like try and attack the Lok fans. But yeah, so then the police came on in front of the Lok fans. There was like loads of police on the halfway line in front of the Chemie fans as well. And the game was interrupted for about 20 minutes. The weird thing as well was, so there were 500 Lok fans, 4,999 fans in total. And in the Lok end, there were 20 Halle fans who were, so all the Lok fans were in yellow, but there were about 20 Halle fans in red. Which just seems, it seems like such a strange thing to me. I obviously understand friendships between sets of fan groups, and obviously that happens quite a lot in Germany with friendships between ultra groups. But you could at least pretend that you're a Leipzig fan or sorry, a Lok fan when you're going to an away game, whereas they always stood there in red. So that was a bit strange.
Yeah, I saw when Augsburg were playing at Bochum a few weeks ago, there's just folks standing there with Würzburger kickers tops in the Augsburg end because of their friendship. It's just a bit bizarre. You think they just wear the colours of the team they're actually playing. It's a bit strange. So see the city itself, obviously the elephant in the room is Red Bull. What Is there, can you still see like a strong presence of Kemi and Locke, like stickers and graffiti and stuff like that? Is it obvious that they're the sort of two traditional clubs in the city?
It's interesting you say it's the elephant in the room because I didn't really think about it like the whole weekend. So when we got on the tram, you go roughly past the Red Bull Arena, and because Red Bull were playing Augsburg on the Sunday, when we were leaving the station on the Sunday, you could see a few people in tops. But really, in the city centre, all of the stickers that you see are either Rangers because they recently played Leipzig. There's quite a lot of Union Berlin stickers as well, like because they recently played there twice. But no, pretty much all the stickers that we saw were for Chemie and Block, and I guess that links into a point we've talked about before, that the people, I mean, especially for people who fans who go to RB Leipzig, they're very much consumers. They're going to consume the products. They don't care about stickers or how many stickers are being posted around their neighborhood. And I guess as well that because the Red Bull ground is like right in the middle of the city, and there's no real sort of housing around it. So they haven't got a particular area that's sort of designated to them, whereas Chemie is in the Leutsch area, which is in the west of the city, and Locker from Probstheide, which is in the southeast. So yeah, I you don't really realize much when you're there that Red Bull are present.
Yeah, fair enough, I suppose. Shows the contrast. Can't imagine scenes like you saw Kemi being at the Red Bull Arena. Like, which I'm not saying violence is a good thing, but it's just more of a passionate affair because you wouldn't say Red Bull, Rasenballsport have a proper rival,
No,
basically because
exactly.
everyone hates them. But
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point, and I think that's part of the reason why it's such an intense game, and I think why it's one of the most intense rivalries in Germany is because it's relatively small fan groups. So like Schalke against Dortmund, it would be big sort of relatively between the ultras groups. When you've got 60,000 people at Veltins Arena and 80,000 at Westfalenstadion, the amount of hate between the fans is sort of dissipated by the people who just care about the
Yeah,
result.
that's true.
And you could say the same with sort of HSV and St. Pauli and HSV and Bremen and stuff like that. Whereas there's sort of 5,000 people, and there are, yeah, sort of a large proportion of those do genuinely genuinely hate the other side as well.
Yeah, I suppose at a lower level, it's a lot less attractive to casual fans and people who are basically there just to watch the football. It's your heart. There's going to be much more of a concentration of passionate fans, like ultras. So it does make it more of an intense experience. As always, it's always stuck out to me, that ground though. See the what you're talking about, the massive terrace, like sort of two tiers, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and the view from the top of it is amazing as well. So we're in the top tier. And yeah, like I said, it's just a bit of a, it's quite a unique ground also, because behind the seating section where we were at the beginning is sort of where the food and drink is. But it's kind of like a fairground or something. It's a bit strange. It looks like they've just sort of turned a grass park into an area for football. It's a bit it's a bit of a strange one, but yeah, it's definitely a unique ground.
What about in terms of ratings and stuff? Did you try out any of the mustard being flung about?
Well, so that's the thing. We bought a beer beforehand because I'd seen online that it was obviously a category one game in terms of risk, so there wasn't allowed to be any alcohol served. But we bought a beer, and it certainly tasted like a beer. But to be honest, I've never had an alcohol free beer before, so I don't know.
So would you give it a? So you can't really give it a rating.
Well, no. So then, and then the other thing was they. So the other time we could have got food would have been at half time, but then right by the food stands was where the tear gas had been let off. So, but they did actually. I did see they had Spätzle. I don't know if you're aware of Spätzle from your time in Stuttgart. It's sort of like gnocchi, with cheese sauce and cheese on top. And they had Kaiserschmarrn, which is from Austria actually. It's sort of like fried pancakes. So the veggie options were out in full. I just didn't manage to taste it. So I feel it's a bit difficult for me to rate it, but I reckon I'll give the food and drink probably a six.
Fair play. Right, slap bang in the middle. What about the atmosphere and the actual game? I mean, you said the atmosphere is pretty intense, but the game, definitely the start, pretty awful.
Yeah, so especially the first half of the game is pretty poor. It certainly got better. And I think maybe, strangely enough, if anything, it was better after the interruption. Because, yeah, the game was interrupted for about 20 minutes. And then it meant... So there was a bit of a mistake from the Shemi goalie, and Locke equalised. And then Shemi went 2-1 up about 20 minutes before the end. And that meant that Locke were pushing a bit more. And so Shemi's biggest weapon was actually getting the ball from like a corner or a lock attack, and the keeper would just give it a massive punt forward over the heads of the lock defenders. And if Shemi had been a bit better on the counter, they would have scored a few more. But so I give the game a six as well. Yeah, the first half was pretty poor. Second half was a bit better, and I think the tension added to it as well. And then the atmosphere is a difficult one, because like I said, by far the most intense game I've ever been to, and the Diablos, so the Shemi ultras, were very loud. But even in the top tier where we were standing, it wasn't a huge amount of people joining in, and on the sides as well. But I reckon just because the intensity, I reckon I'll give the atmosphere an eight. Yeah, I think just the last bit is, then, as you mentioned before, getting away from the ground took a lot longer than we thought, because so with the Shemi fans celebrated for about 20 minutes or so with the fans, which I think is always pretty cool. And they brought out a silver tray with beers on for the players, which seemed quite funny. And I think one of their players, the captain, Stefan Karau, it was his last home games, he was celebrating with the fans. So we stayed for about 20 minutes or so. And then we missed the first tram we were looking to get. And we thought it would be okay. But then literally just as we were about to get on the next tram, that was when the Lok fans were brought round onto the main road by the police. And so then we need to wait, the tram needs to wait for that for a bit. And then that's just what I don't understand with like the huge police presence as well, because then we did manage to get on the tram. It managed to travel for like 200-300 meters and it stopped. And we're like, well, why is it stopping? And so there had only been about 300 of the lock fans who were taken to one station. And then I don't know, 100 of them managed to get out of the encirclement by the police. And so, yeah, there was like 10 police vans that had driven in front of the tram, and it was sort of separating the two sets of fans against. There was about 100 lock fans as we went past on the tram. And yeah, if anything, that was then the bit that was sort of the closest bit where it actually came to kicking off, was when we were on the tram, because then it carried on another stop again. And there are about 6 lock fans who are waiting right by the tram stop. And obviously most of the Shemi fans inside the tram were like taunting them, and the doors open for a minute and they're like, and the lock fans came over, and I thought it was just about to kick off. But fortunately, the tram driver managed to close the doors again, but the lock fans were like outside on the tram, like hammering on the windows, like trying to get themselves in. So yeah, so all round, yeah, just a crazy experience. And I guess perhaps the last point as well, because a few people asked me how I managed to get tickets, and they just went on general sale. So there wasn't much of a fanfare about it. They had a piece on, Shemi had a piece on their website about 2 weeks before saying, oh, this is when it goes on sale for members. And they were selling them at their previous home game. And it said, the general sale goes on sale on the Monday before the game. And they didn't actually put a tweet out on the game saying, oh, didn't put a tweet out on the day saying, oh, the tickets on general sale now. But I knew it and went on their website and managed to get tickets. So even if it's not for the derby, I'd highly recommend going to a Shemi game if you're in and about the area. Maybe going to Halle or Zwickau or Chemnitz or many of the other teams in that area. So would definitely recommend checking them out.
Excellent. Seems like a good experience. Just a shame that those places are so poorly connected, both from in terms of flights from the UK, but probably closest place in terms of Scotland would be Berlin, and then just getting a train down. But they are all grounds with really intense atmospheres, not always to that extent of the derby game, but quite probably go under the radar a wee bit because so many of the clubs are in the lower leagues, like third, fourth tiers, but always good options to have. Maybe even to join on to like a Berlin trip, get the train down for another day and visit one of these grounds. So it's an area of the country I've never been in, Saxony. Seems like a different world, to be honest.
Absolutely. And it's only an hour on a train from Berlin, so it's definitely doable. And like you say, I mean, all of my experiences so far, it's just been very, very intense for any of the games I've been to in Saxony. And I think that's a good thing as well. Like I said, the only bit sort of where I felt like in danger was that bit at the end on the tram. And even though it was a very intense game, as a neutral, you don't really feel sort of in danger or anything like that. And if anything, it's quite interesting to watch all of it happen, as long as no one gets injured. But anyway, so the derby in Leipzig managed to go the way of Shemi. But so while myself and Colin were enjoying all that the Bundesliga and Regionalliga Nordost has to offer on the Saturday, it was very much a ground-hopping extravaganza for the GFP crew this weekend, as our co-host George, who sadly can't make it tonight, was also at the HSV Hanover game. A very big win for Roy's boys, which means at the weekend they set up a crunch game with friends of the pod Hansa Rostock. He also managed to go to Altona 93, who were unfortunately relegated to the Oberliga as they conceded 2 in the last minute, I think. But we thought, as George isn't here, and also we've covered HSV and Altona a few times, that we'll skip on to the Sunday, where brothers Moore headed to Tusum Essen against Ruva Delvig, which, as I'm sure most of our listeners will know, Tusum Essen, in fact, better known for their handball team, with the men's handball team in the second Bundesliga. But the football game was actually in the Bezirksliga Niederrhein. So I mean, even more so than the Köln second game, how did you come across this game? Why did you come across the game? Why did you end up going to it?
Football GF again, pretty much. The main plan going on to this trip for the Sunday was going to be trying to get tickets for Victoria Köln against Kaiserslautern, but the Kaiserslautern fans had taken up so many of the tickets. I think they ended up taking about 7,000-8,000 fans to Köln, that it was sold out so early that by the time we booked the flights, the game was already sold out, no chance of getting tickets. Yeah, so we were looking at different options for the Sunday, and I think the best one was the Wattenscheid game. That was the Oberliga Niederrhein, sorry, Oberliga Westfalen, which Wattenscheid sort of within the city of Bochum, but just sort of between Bochum and Essen. And one of the games in that area, according to the app, was Tourism Essen were kicking off at 11 o'clock in the morning. Quite an unusual time, very Sunday league time to be kicking off at 11 o'clock. So with the proximity between those two grounds, I mean, when that game finished, there was another couple of hours before the Wattenscheid one started. So definitely possible to fit both in. So on that Sunday, decided to get up pretty early again, headed from Dusseldorf direct to Essen, which something that's about half an hour, 35 minutes on the train, quite a short journey. Got the train to Essen, U-Bahn out to see where Tourism Essen played. So they sort of southwest of the city, just about 15-20 minutes on the U-Bahn. And you sort of come into it with the preconceptions of what Essen's going to look like, quite industrial. I mean, it's twinned with Sunderland from northeast England. You're expecting something similar, not the nicest of places. I was expecting somewhere that looked quite like Duisburg, but the part that we were in, where Tourism Essen played, was really nice. It was like a really leafy suburb, like quiet, really nice houses. Yeah, it felt quite strange. Didn't feel like what you'd expect a city in the Ruhr to look like. So it was quite a nice wee bit. And you get off the U-Bahn, and the first thing we're encountered with was the Rover Delbig squad walking along the street, having a pre-game stroll through the neighbourhood. It's quite good. All these folk with blue tracksuits on, have it getting up and close to our heroes of the day, Rover Delbig. We'd arrived pretty good time. One thing I should also say about Essen was the amount of stickers for Rot-Weiss Essen that you see every day. Obviously, like the big club in the city have quite a big support, but it was almost not to the point of the amount of Rostock stickers they're wearing, the amount of Hansa stickers that are wearing Rostock. But it was similar, like every lamppost basically had at least one Rot-Weiss Essen sticker. And just in the region in general, you saw so many Essen stickers, more so than even Schalke or Dortmund. Just got a great idea of how big the fan base is, how passionate about Essen in particular. But we weren't there to see Rot-Weiss, we were there to see Tourism, the leaders of the Bezirksliga Niederrhein, Gruppe 7. And it was something like, I think they'd only played about 17 or 18 games of the season, and they were sitting on 44 points. And Rover Delvig were sitting second bottom with 9 points. So expecting a very, very one-sided affair. We had such time to kill before the game, met in this big circle around the ground, and then all of a sudden see one of the coaches of the teams, I think it was a Tourism Essen coach, and then all of a sudden he disappears into the bushes. So you're wondering what this guy's up to. So looked in where he'd walked in, and you see an open gate into the stadium. So decided to walk up and walk through the open door where the pitch was, and the teams were soon starting to warm up. So pretty much assumed because of that there was free entry, but then saw later that there actually was an entrance to the ground that had a bit of a price list and a bucket where we collected money. So it seemed like we accidentally stole a ticket to that game, managed to get in for free. But it was quite quite good. It just seemed quite of a close-knit community feel to the place. It's such a lower level, like amateur, that so many of the spectators, players are walking by and they seem to know each other. So you'd imagine it's family and friends. They had a wee social club as well. It seemed like an actual sports centre, like the football pitch there, but there's also tennis courts, the Tours and Messing badge. Then they had a social club when they were advertising the Bruchkin and cafe. So I don't think there was any, not any alcohol on sale or anything like that, but you could go in and have some coffee if you wanted. Probably a bit early for beer with the 11 o'clock kickoff anyway. It seems like quite a nice setup, particularly at such a low level. They seem to be doing quite well. And then sort of decent amount of time and then get into the game. So the game was quite, enjoyed the game. It was pretty comical at times. You know, when you're at that level, you see some funny things, like some of the amateurish sides of that level. The Rover Delvig goalkeeper was wearing a tracksuit. Wearing like a tracksuit jacket during the game. No idea why.
Jacket? Then, oh, okay.
Like a tracksuit jacket. He was wearing like, I don't know if it was almost as if like they'd forgotten the goalkeeper kit, or they only had outfield kits with them. So to distinguish, they'd wear a jacket. So he was wearing like black. The Rover Delvig squad were wearing blue, but he was wearing a sort of like blue zip up thing, like slightly darker blue. It was really weird. So it was when a tracksuit jacket. the goal that you could see was ridiculous. Like it was a shot, and it was basically straight. I think he like pretty much palmed into the goal. Just this goalkeeper in a tracksuit that was about 5'7", palming it into the net. And the River Delvig squad in general, they seemed to panic a wee bit when they had the ball. Like they started playing all these diagonal balls, hitting out for a throw all the time.
Yeah,
could have done with George, to be honest, in their team. I think he would have improved them.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, some cheeky diags.
They had this. They had this number 8 playing up front, and it went down for everything. It was after about 10 minutes. It went down, and gave dissent to the ref, so he got booked after 10 minutes of the game. And then every time he got the ball, he just fell over and was like moaning. But it was about number 8, looked about 40 years old, and he was like diving about all over the place. the ref was having absolutely none of it. This big massive ref, sort of shape that you'd imagine a lower league ref, like sort of wandering about the centre circle, very sporadically leaving the halfway line, but he was having none of the players descent and booked him after 10 minutes. So we're thinking during the game, this guy's not going to last the game, but he ended up getting taken off. But, you know, it was almost as if he was a player coach, because when he'd been taken off, he was in the touchline, but then he starts like chucking bottles about and stuff like that. Absolutely raging.
At the ref, like chucking the bottles.
No, like, I think it was maybe with the ref decision after they conceded the third goal. So Tours of Mezzan ends up winning 3-0. I think it was maybe not long after the third goal, he like gets a bottle of water and just chucks it down and like kicks it. He's standing on the touchline as if he's a player coach meant to be leading by example, but he was acting like an absolute child during the whole game. But it was quite a funny game. But Tours of Mezzan got a penalty as well during the first half, and then they hit the post. And then the rebound, the player hit it, and it went over the fence behind the goal. I don't know how the tall the fence was. You know how the sort of artificial pitches you get in like maybe a school, and the like fences. It was like sort of the height of that. The ball hit the post, and the rebound went over the fence, and I was just crying with laughter. And then straight after that happened, straight after it went to a goal kick, and Tours of Mezzan won the ball back, and they went into the box again. And one of the players got chopped down, and it should have been another penalty, basically straight away. But the referee didn't give it for some reason.
Yeah,
like he didn't want to give two penalties in a row. But it was pretty funny. It was a very one-sided game, and the away side didn't have the much quality, but I did enjoy it.
So, and how many spectators were there?
According to Fussball data, there were 80, which is probably, I mean, not including us that came in through the
jobby,
the open gate next to the woods, but maybe 82. probably about 80. I mean, it was just sort of like, what do you expect? Like an artificial pitch with a sort of track around it, and then a railing at the side where like fans could watch it.
Hmm. This is a bit unfortunate now, because if Polytech NRV are listening, then you've actually just outed yourself as entering the ground illegally. So maybe next time you arrive at Dusseldorf Airport, yourself and your brother will be asked into a side room.
Next time I'm at a football game, they'll just try and film me and ask for my ID.
Yeah,
and then you can throw
your mustard at them. Yeah. So to sum up the game, you said that there wasn't a huge amount of food and drink options, and obviously not much of an atmosphere with around 80 people watching. So how would you sum up the game?
Yeah, probably for those things. I mean, didn't have any food or drink, and the atmosphere just such a low level that it doesn't really count. So I put an NA for that. The game itself, the home side were definitely much superior. You're expecting that, though, with them being top of the league and Delvig being, I think they were second bottom officially, but the team at the bottom are maybe finished the season early, like annulled their fixtures, so they're pretty much bottom of the league. Only had 9 points, so you're expecting a really one-sided game. I'd probably put it at 7. It wasn't the worst quality. I think the home side tried to play out from the back. The away side did try and play a bit, but they just didn't really have the composure. Kept firing out of play. But I think just because of how entertaining it was at times, because it was sometimes it was so amateurish, it was funny. At certain points, I would put it at a 7. I did quite enjoy it.
And you made the trip from Essen to Wattenscheid. And as you mentioned, there's not very far between the two cities. You managed
So, I mean, it's a U-Bahn back to Essen Hauptbahnhof, and then the train to Wattenscheid, is only one stop. But DB, the train that we were planning to get was delayed. And then eventually arrived, and it just sat on the platform for about 20 minutes with no explanation. So, I mean, game finished just before 1, got the train that was meant to be about 13:16, but then you're sitting there and it didn't actually leave until about 25 to 2, which is quite frustrating because you don't know what's happening. The conductor was just sort of standing there. There's no real explanation. But eventually it moved on. And got to Wattenscheid, which seems to be within Bochum itself. It used to be a town, but it's now just really incorporated as part of the city of Bochum. But it did seem to have its own sort of character and identity. Like, you didn't roundabout Wattenscheid, it was like all Wattenscheid graffiti and stickers, stuff like that. You never saw any Bielefeld Bochum stuff, which I thought was quite interesting, considering, I mean, how big they are within the city, that Wattenscheid does seem to have its own sort of separate identity. It's a nice 25-minute walk, sort of, from the Hauptbahnhof to the stadium. And it's quite a good feature, as always, when you can see the floodlights from a distance away when you're walking towards the ground, and that was the case. It was good, like, tall, old-fashioned floodlights. I think we appreciated that at Hansa, when you saw the floodlights from a distance away, it was quite similar to this. And again, it was such a nice day that it was just a really, really good walk to the stadium.
And is it the same stadium that they used when they used to be in the Zweite Bundesliga? Do you know that?
Yeah, it's Lower Heide Stadion. I don't think it's really changed since they're in the Bundesliga. They were actually in the Bundesliga for 4 years consecutively in the early 90s. And that's when they had like Leroy Sané's father playing for them, stuff like that. They managed to beat Bayern during that time. It was quite a, obviously, peak period of the club. But you get the feeling that the stadium's not changed since then. That really is what you'd expect an old-fashioned German ground to look like, sort of 1970s, that sort of track around it. big floodlights, one stand with seats in it, and then the rest pretty much standing room. It holds 16,000, which is probably suitable for them in the Bundesliga. Don't get the same crowds. The crowd at the game against Paderborn 5 that we were at was about 825, which, I mean, in the stadium you're in, it seems small, but then you consider the level, that's fifth tier Oberliga. That's a really good crowd for that level.
Yeah.
Compared to what you'd usually expect, 800 odds. I was pretty impressed with the setup that they had, and it was clearly, you worry a wee bit at that level that it seems a bit more, less passionate, but they clearly do still have quite a big support base that is passionate for the team. Like the fans are still wearing the club shirts, etc. And then, as I mentioned, there's the roundabout the stadium as you're walking to it, there are signs that the club are important in the area, like stickers and stuff like that.
And were there any, I guess, no Paderborn fans managed to make the trip, considering I was in Rostock last week and Paderborn were away, and they took about 200 to Rostock for their first team. I can't imagine there were any Paderborn fans there.
No, we're wondering about that, because coming into the game, Paderborn 2 were top of the league. It's the way the league works out, Oberliga, Westfalen, as it splits into two within Aufstiegsrunde for promotion and Abstiegsrunde for relegation. So both these teams are in the top half. Paderborn were top, so have a great chance of getting into Regionalliga West. But no, I mean, even considering though it's in the same train line, because the train we got from Essen to Wattenscheid, the last station we're doing Paderborn, so it is pretty well accessible for them. But when they scored the equaliser, there was a few, maybe a bit like five or six in the stand that were clapping. They might even have been like family or friends, you never know. They didn't have, because the way the stadium is, there's a guest block behind the opposite goal, but it just wasn't open. So anyone that were like sympathised with Paderborn were just in the stand. But not really anyone. As you say, like the home side doesn't really get much of our away support, so you wouldn't expect that from the second team.
And how was the home atmosphere?
Quite pleasantly surprised. I mean, you're wondering about that sort of level, whether it would just be like, I mean, fourth tier, I'd seen Köln try against Homburg, and the atmosphere wasn't really existent. But the Wattenscheid did have a group of ultras in the west stand, which runs alongside one of the goals. So they sort of went in one end of the stand. Probably a good, maybe 20, 30 ultras with flags and stuff, which they made a good atmosphere. I think the stand that they were in was quite good for acoustics, with the sound echoing. So it was a really good atmosphere during the game. I suppose the only disappointment was one of the things Wattenscheid's most noted for is its club anthem. It's quite a famous one. That when that played, no one sang along to it. It just sort of played in the background before the game, and which was, I suppose, a bit disappointing in terms of atmosphere. But once the game starts, there was like a good atmosphere from the ultras and the fans. I mean, the sort of normal fans, a lot of them, not all of them are like paying attention. They're chatting amongst themselves and stuff like that, like you'd expect at a lower league game. But they were getting into it. Like there was noise dependent on what was going on in the game and stuff like that. And they did cheer when the team scored, quite a loud cheer, especially when they got a late winner. A sub came on, scored with his first touch, scored a header from a corner. It was big roar, so that was good to see. So the atmosphere was pretty decent. I did like the stadium. I mean, not really mentioned like coming into the stadium. It was only €8 to get in, which compared to Köln 2, I mean, that's €10. So it was cheaper than that. And it was more reasonable in terms of the food, really good bratwurst. I think it's quite famous for its bratwurst. It claims to be the best in the country. Quite a bold, but it was really good. Then beer, I think it was Stauder Pils, which is quite decent. And as you'll see, have their own branded cups, which I've taken home with me. managed to get a scarf as well.
That's the collection, yeah. Yeah, you definitely had a Bratwurst overload during the weekend.
You never get sick of it, though. Yeah. And a readily available mustard as well.
And I'm pretty sure it was a beautiful day in Wattenscheid as well, which definitely adds to the experience.
When you're standing out on the terrace and uncovered, of course, it definitely makes a difference when it's a sunny day. And it's just another ground and quite a nice location. It's sort of like in the outskirts and quite leafy. Use that word a lot during the weekend. A leafy area of Wattenscheid. So that was quite enjoyable. The game itself, I mean, Paderborn, I'd mentioned, they've been top of the league. I'd say they looked sort of more comfortable with the ball. You might expect that from a youth team that didn't really create too many chances. And eventually, Wattenscheid took the lead, which is decent. But then, from the kickoff after Wattenscheid took the lead, I mentioned Darmstadt tried to score from the halfway line. Paderborn shot from the halfway line after the kickoff, and they hit the bar, which was... It was quite funny. Yeah, just imagine if that had gone in.
Yeah,
straight from kickoff, hit the bar from the halfway line.
Yeah,
they eventually equalised,
and then one of the Wattenscheid players clears it out of the stadium.
Yeah,
straight off the crossbar.
The Paderborn eventually equalised in the second half. Then this big striker comes on second half, like 84th minute or something, and then scores header direct from the corner, and then they run onto the track and are celebrating the fans. That was pretty good.
That's something I forgot to ask, actually. Did the running track take away from the experience a bit? Obviously, it's not ideal.
Yeah, I think so. You definitely feel less engaged with it when action's so far away. I don't know. It feels a bit weird. It feels like it makes you focus more on the crowd around you, because then the actual game, it feels so far away. I did like the ground, how old fashioned it was, how different. Like, you can imagine so many grounds used to be like that, but it's almost preserved what it used to be like. The track is a bit of a drawback. It's quite interesting, like the tunnel where the players come out is like underneath one of the stand behind the goal, so the players come out like on the track, quite close to the fans. So.
Yeah, I was just looking at the photo that you sent to the chat, and it does look like you're a fair way away from the action.
Yeah, I think particularly when it's up the other side of the pitch, obviously Wattenscheid were shooting towards nobody in the first half, and that's where they scored their opening goal. It just seems absolutely miles away. The fans don't seem to care, to be honest. They seem to be quite happy with it.
Yeah. But so to round up the weekend, would you give the final set of ratings?
I'll give the food and drink an 8 out of 10. I enjoyed that. Probably they had to use a stadium card. So you had to load up onto a card like 5 euros, 10 euros, 15 euros. And then that's how you paid for stuff at the actual stalls. But I did enjoy it. I mean, Bratwurst was really good. Had a couple of them. The beer was good. Then you got the branded cups, which taken home with me. So that, and yeah, there's a selection. There's more than one type of cup as well. That more than one design. That was good. Let's give that an 8. Atmosphere decent. I'd say the, like I mentioned, lack of singing during the anthem was a shame. So probably a 7. But still a really good atmosphere, I would say, for that level, and a really good noise when the goal went in as well. And they've got their own goal song as well, like a specific goal song. It was like Tor, 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 Fu Wattenscheid. Quite a good one. And the game itself, I would give a 7. It's quite a decent game. Quite frustrating, as you imagine, that sort of level, like some of the finishing. But I would say the home side deserved the win. Quite an entertaining game in general.
Yeah, that was something I was considering at the weekend, that it definitely, it feels like we recommend pretty much everywhere that we go to in Germany on our away trips, and our ratings generally seem to be high. But I guess that just speaks for the quality of ground hopping in Germany. So, yeah, I think that's been a fairly comprehensive episode this week. Any final parting words from you, Colin? I'm sure it was well, must sounds like an unreal weekend, one of the best you've had so probably since the pandemic.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it's the most games I've had in a weekend to fit five in, which definitely, definitely something. And all of them I would recommend in their own ways. Like, obviously, Fortuna, a really good like, modern ground with a good atmosphere that's easy to get tickets for. Köln, definitely not easy to get tickets for, but one of the best atmospheres in Germany and really distinctive ground as well, which still has a bit of character about it. Then you've got your lower league grounds, Köln 2. I mean, probably not the best recommendation, but if you're in the sort of area and you can fit that in with an FC game, the first team, I'd recommend that as well, even just for the walk between the two grounds. Tusermessen, if you want to see a player fire over a 30-meter fence behind the goal, go for that, and a goalkeeper wearing a tracksuit, and then. Battenscheid's probably a bit of a hidden gem of the weekend. Somewhere where a lot of folk probably don't consider, probably don't look at the fifth tier when you're looking at games round about that weekend, but it's something that you can get tickets for easily. It's cheap, really passionate, and you get a good atmosphere and it well located if you're ever near the likes of Essen and Bochum. So all of them good in their own special ways, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, and we always talk about that. But I think, especially Regionalliga and Oberliga, you always feel like you're contributing to the local community and you're contributing to the local club when you go to games at that level. So yeah, thank you very much for enlightening us, Colin, and joining me this week. And it's the final weekend of Bundesliga and Zweite Bundesliga, actually the weekend. Hope you all enjoy it, and I'm sure we'll be back next week for a bit of a season roundup. Tschüss.
Cheers.